So I'd like to call the meeting to order. Approval of minutes will be at our October meeting. Any public comments? Anyone public on the line? Do we have anybody on the line, Karen?
I don't see anyone, no.
Okay. So president's comments. So it looks like Kenny is new. So we will go around and just say, introduce ourselves. I'm Diane Gerlach. I'm a pediatrician with Aurora. I've been on the board for a number of years. Not as many as John, but been in the community for about 25 years. Next on to Dominic.
Hello, Kenny. You already know me. I'm Dr. Dominique Pritchett. I'm the owner of Beloved Wellness Center. I have been on the board just a few months, so we're both newbies. Welcome.
Thank you.
Julia.
You're muted.
There we go. No? Am I okay? Okay, sorry. I was an alderman in Kenosha for 10 years in the Columbus Park area. My background is as a therapist. I was clinical director of a psych unit down in Illinois, and I also worked at the VA, at Hines VA Hospital. And I pivoted after having kids and moving here, and currently I'm doing some training, and I was a gymnastics coach. I've done all sorts of things, dental assisting, you name it. I kind of just keep pivoting, and I've been on the board now for a few years. I don't know. I've lost track. COVID kind of all blurs together, but welcome. Can't wait to get to know you better.
Thank you.
Kenny, you're up next.
I'm Kenny Harper, the owner and financial specialist at Harper Tax and Financial Literacy Group. We kind of focus on teaching financial wellness and the basic concepts of financial literacy to create a stronger community. I do come from a 22-year Kenosha resident. 20 of those years were spent in the healthcare field. So I worked as a medical assistant, nursing assistant. Most recently, my last position with Ascension, I was a cardiac technician. So I kind of dealt with pacemakers and things of that nature. So just being very familiar with the healthcare system over the years, and just looking forward to being a resource to this board and also to the community.
John.
Thank you. My name is John O'Day. I'm the current county chairman. Been on the county board since 1996. Been on health department board for probably since before 96, actually. I can't even remember. A lot of supervisors on the county board couldn't do it, didn't want to do it or whatever, because it was always meeting at noon. And so I've been one to, as a backup, always to help the health department in whatever endeavor that they do.
Rita.
You're muted.
Okay, am I just introducing myself, I guess? I'm Dr. Rita Ventura. I'm a nurse practitioner with Children's Wisconsin, and I work in child advocacy and protection and do evaluations of children who are potential victims of abuse, and have been in this position for about 20 years and have been a board of health member for, I don't know, close to 15, I think. So my tenure on this board will be nearing its end. So just hoping to be able to provide that abuse perspective as a public health issue and bring back information to our team on services in the community.
Lori?
Hi there. My name is Lori Plummer. I'm the Clinical Services Manager at Kenosha County Public Health.
John Moyer.
John Moyer, with Corporation Counsel. It'll be 10 years this May, 25 years before that with Public Defender, Kenosha resident, went to all the local schools and all that. That's about it.
And Kenny, I think you know Karen and Jen, right? Then we have two callers on the line. Can we get those identified?
Hi, this is my name's Kathy Coleman. I'm with CAFASI, Kenosha Area Family and Aging, and we're just listening in today to see what y'all are talking about.
All right, thank you. Thanks. And then we have one other caller on the line.
The 945-4047 number. I guess I just wanted to make sure if that was Ola or not. You're muted, Diane.
We'll continue on then. I think things are looking pretty good in the community. Numbers here at the hospital and clinic have definitely gone down. And the number of calls and emails from schools have gone down. So I think that's looking pretty good. One thing I'd like to let you guys know about the WPHA and WALDAB, which are the state public health associations. And WALDAB is the Wisconsin Association for the Boards of Health. They are having a conference on May 24th to 26th. You can go in person to the Wilderness in the Dells, or they are having a virtual one. I'll make sure Karen has the information if you want to register for that. They tend to have a lot of good speakers. It is directed at boards of health and health officers. WALDAB is, or Wisconsin is one of the few where the health officers and the boards of health are combined for the association. But it's great information of what's going on around the country and training and also information that may help with running the board or keep you more informed. So I'll send that to Karen and make sure that she passes it out to everyone else. On to health officers' reports.
Yes, thank you, and bear with me. I am home sick with not COVID, some cold gunk that's going around. First of all, we finally have a full board of health, at least for 1 month until we find out what happens with John next month. It looks like John has a cold too. As you all know, when I first came into the board of health, we really needed to diversify our board of health. And so we are well on our way, still progress to be made. Ola Bayou is also a new member who is, Karen, we'll have to have you reach out to him to see if he, and Roger is here now too. Okay. So that is what you see is as we fill out some of the empty spots that we are looking to diversify. And John will also talk in a little bit. There is some new state statute language going forth to talk about requirements for the Board of Health and who fills what positions. I'll pause if you want to just let Roger go ahead and introduce yourself. Roger, since we all did a round robin introduction, since Kenny Harper is our newest Board of Health member. So if you want to introduce yourself. And you have to unmute. We're going to collect a quarter for every time, and then we'll have a fun money.
You're still muted, Roger.
All right.
Oh, there you are.
I was having troubles starting. Okay, yeah, this is Roger Perez, and I am a community advocate, especially with the Hispanic community, and I've been trying to as much as I can, pretty much like one at a time. I don't have an organization, but a lot of people, they come to me and they ask me for help in many areas. And I am very grateful that, you know, the Kenosha Health Department gave me the opportunity to be part of it. And it's an honor. When I mentioned that I'm a board member of Kenosha Health Department, people were like, wow. How do you got in there? So it feels good. It feels good, and I hope I can contribute with something. It's mainly bottom line, right? That I don't want to just be a face that is going to be right there. No, I want to do whatever it needs, whatever I can do to help, and not only the Hispanics. Anywhere that you guys can use my help, I'm here to help you.
Thank you. Yeah, part of the thing was many boards of health of old were all medical model. It was all nurses and doctors. And as you all know, public health is not built on a medical model. We're built on a community health or prevention model. And so desperately want people from the community. And it's an advisory board. So I want all the advice and you know, boots on the ground, not just specialty areas like where we want that too, whether you're a mental health or financial literacy, you know, all these various, you all bring such various specialties to the table, as well as the hat of being a community member. And so all of that is such helpful information to bring to this advisory. Good stuff. Thank you. With that, on March 29th, we're having another onboarding session. So this is especially pertinent for Roger, Kenny, and Ola. Dominique, I know you went through in September. Was it September or August already? Any of you, the rest of you, are welcome to come. We sent the agenda out. At least I believe it was sent out. Karen, yes? So you're welcome to come for one or more sessions if you like, but it's definitely for our newest members, because how can you represent the health department if you don't know the 65 programs and services that we offer? So it's going to be a long, dense day, whereas for Dr. Pritchett, it was broken up into 2 days. This was all one day, so it is going to be a long one, but to come and learn in quick blurbs, 15 minutes for each program, about what they do and all the various services we offer. And we love all the questions and dialogue that comes from being there. So you're all welcome to attend that, but it's required for the new members. And so that's on the 29th. We're also looking to have a back-to-school health fair on August 15th at our WIC and Uptown Clinic offices on 63rd. So we're just in the early planning phases of that, so I will give you more information, but we're really looking to, that is a heavy foot traffic day for WIC, so the built-in audience is already there, and we will have many different vendors and booths that if you represent somebody, you're also welcome to be there, or just walk around and be a host and hobnob and whatnot, but you're welcome to have a booth too if you like for your particular wellness initiative or whatnot. And so more information to come for that. That's where we're hoping to get kids vaccinated, get their vaccines up before starting back to school, all of that sort of thing. So I wanted to get that on your save the date calendar for right now for August 15th. It's a Monday. Yes, in COVID news, everything is low. Cases are down, hospitalizations, deaths, everything is low. You may have seen on the CDC website, they had some inaccurate data, and we worked for 2 whole days, our epidemiologist trying to get a hold of, we had the state health department involved, where the CDC got our numbers. It was, what was keeping us in the high category on the CDC website was hospitalizations. They still had us at an extremely high rate of hospitalizations, even though our numbers were showing, because both Aurora and Frater South send us daily the COVID hospitalization counts. So we're able to track and trend that on a daily basis. And our numbers were not aligning with what the CDC had. Eventually, they got somewhat in tune, because now you'll see Kenosha County is low. However, somebody told me today it jumped back up to high. So I have no idea where CDC is getting those numbers. They're not accurate. So we basically put out a statement, as you saw in the sit rep last Tuesday, to say we are at low, you know, check the county website. That's where the most accurate data is. So it's unfortunate. I don't know where CDC is pulling the incorrect data there. But a lot of school districts were waiting on that data in order to make appropriate masking decisions and that sort of thing. We are still getting people to come and get vaccinated at our clinic. It has dropped off a little bit, but we are giving out gift cards now to every single person, whether they get first dose, second dose, a booster shot, they get a $25 gift card at our clinic. The reason for this is we were giving out gift cards at our mobile missions. So for example, we went to, on the 18th of February, we were at Lomelli's Butcher Shop again. We had 35 people. We were at Second Baptist on the 20th, and we had 19 people get vaccinated then. So we still had, you know, some numbers coming out to get vaccinated, lots of first timers, and we always give out gift cards at those mobile missions. But then if somebody couldn't make those mobile missions, they'd come into our clinic and weren't getting equal treatment as far as the reward there. So we are doing that at our clinic. We still have our Uptown clinic closed because we are without a nurse practitioner. You're having a heck of a time getting a nurse practitioner to even apply into that role. But our main clinic at the job center is still open, and that's where all services are still happening. So just wanted to let you know that the gift cards are being given out at our clinic every day. And testing is way down too. We have a number of new testing sites in the community. Some are still working through getting linked into the state laboratory reporting network, and that's why they're not listed on our county website yet. But they're all experiencing very low turnout for testing right now. And I think that's about all the news that's fit to print for COVID. But in other news, I just wanted to give you some updates. Our entire staff went through a mandatory microaggression training last week with a consultant, Denise Thomas. And that was really good. And our internal equity committee will continue on that microaggression training internal to the health department to continue to push our equity agenda. It's in our vision statement. So we are continuously having trainings and education, and our internal committee is doing lots more research and surveying and that sort of thing in that realm. And as you all know, this was led by Kirsten Gunderson, who is our full-time equity strategist. So Kenny and Ola, if that's you on the phone that we don't know, she'll be reaching out to you to talk about how our health department can do better equity work and get your input on that too, because we obviously always want all of you Board of Health members input on that. Sexually transmitted infections are up. We are working on many strategies for how we can decrease them, working especially with our 12 to 17 year old population who can be seen in our clinic without a parental consent for sexual and reproductive health purposes. And so we're looking at how we can better track the sexually transmitted infections and decrease those. Our Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative, the CORI team, is now fully staffed at 3 staff full-time. And so they are gearing up. They have now been Narcan trained. So we have 3 additional Narcan trainers for the community. We'll be getting back out and doing much more Narcan training. And then by this summer, getting the mobile response initiative. So after people have overdosed, getting them to the right resources and programs, linking them up with crisis, all of that will happen as we get the policies and procedures and protocols for that. So this is that exciting new initiative that we got from a SAMHSA grant for the next 4 years that we're very excited about to provide that service for Kenosha County. So more to come on that as they gear up. We're also beefing up our tourist rooming house licensing. So Airbnbs, VRBO. We have always had this under our licensing abilities as we do with hotels and motels, but with COVID, we weren't able to do much work. And so now we're reformulating a very robust program to get back out into all these tourist rooming houses and get them licensed. That'll be a small additional revenue stream. But the bigger point is to let people coming to visit Kenosha County know that they're in a safe, house, carbon monoxide detection, fire safe, all of that kind of stuff. So we're excited about that. We're also taking another look at our medical direction. For example, Dr. Gerlach signs off on our immunization orders. We have a contract with a medical director specifically for medication-assisted treatment. He's an addictionologist, so he's very specialty there. We have a medical director over our lab. So we are sort of just beginning with Corp Counsel and John Moyer to look at the totality of all of these different medical directors that we utilize and how we can be more efficient in that realm too. So we're at the very infant stages of looking at that, but I just wanted you all to know that we are, you know, quality improvement. We're looking at all things now that the blanket of COVID has lifted. All the stuff that was stirring below for 2 years, we're now taking a look at and reassessing everything. So you'd think we had some downtime now without COVID, but it's like everything else bubbled to the surface and is overwhelming us. So looking at all of our services and programs there. And then the last piece was something that I'm really hoping for your advice on. I had talked about in the past how I apologize, this will be a review for some of you, but especially for Kenny, and if that's Ola on the line, every 3 years by state statute, local health departments, all local health departments across the country have to go through a community health assessment. And the purpose of that is for us to find out what are the current needs. You know, like 3 years ago, it was vaping. You know, vaping was a huge need at the time with everything that was in the news at that time. So it's every 3 years to basically say, what is the current issues? What do we as a health department and Board of Health need to focus on? And so that is coming up this summer. It is paid for through Aurora. So we have a partnership with Aurora to do that. But we're also using some of the ARPA money that we got from the COVID response to really enhance the community health assessment. For example, we will be holding many community focus groups listening sessions, which we were never able to afford in the past. So I'm looking for your input there because we'll definitely want to get out and do, you know, 8 to 12 people focus groups in the community to get their sense for what people have issues with health. Obviously, mental health always rises to the top every 3 years. For example, 3 years ago, the two things that sort of rose were mental health for children especially, and then nutrition for children were the two issues that rose to the top through the community health assessment process. Then we write a community health improvement plan based around those issues that rise to the top. And then we look for grants and focus work on those issues. Now, understandably, nutrition, especially with COVID the past several years, fell off. So we're looking to re-kickstart this new community health assessment and community health improvement plan cycle this summer, hoping COVID doesn't come and derail anything, and how we can get back on it's called the CHA community health assessment and CHIP community health improvement plan, how we get back on the CHA CHIP train. And so I really would like your input, and I will be seeking this monthly to make sure that you all are involved, giving your perspective, giving advice from your various perspectives on how we should be going. So for example, what Aurora pays for every 3 years is a 400 person phone survey. So Aurora, the system Aurora, it's not just our Aurora, hires, they're called JVK Research, an independent LLC. They randomly choose 400 phone numbers to call, and they ask them a whole host of questions, everything from breast cancer to STI to mental health and wellness to there are these standard questions that are used across the state. We can always add to that. For example, 3 years ago, we added a lot of vaping questions. We can add to that. So I will be sharing that when those meetings start up in probably May. But beyond that 400-person survey, our community health assessment was always just based on those 400 people's responses. And like I said, we wanted to do focus groups and make this much, much more robust than the 400 person's responses. And while we're in the very early stages of planning this, I just wanted to sort of open the floor and find out if any of you had any, I'm sure you have thoughts going on locations or people or neighborhoods or communities or, you know, who would be the right people to come to the table, or even suggestions on process, how we operate these focus groups, how we, you know, gather the data. I am all ears open to all of your inputs. So I will shut up now and let you all talk.
Okay, I'll bite. I guess, you know, I always have an opinion. You know, having two people in my household who are involved in data analytics, the process by which you are getting the data, you know, that one really, really, really needs to be carefully thought through, because how you get your sample size, like, who's answering the phone and what phone numbers are we calling? Are we calling cell phones? Are we calling, you know, houses? Are we calling in a geographic area? I mean, you know, the actual creation of the survey is a really big deal. And I know that you said we're asking, you know, we hire, or Aurora hires an LLC to do all of this, but in my experience, you know, companies only do like, you know, I think, you know, if we don't have someone or some people who can advise us on exactly the best way to do that, because I can promise you, if you're calling me, I'm not answering that phone call. And I'm certainly not going to be answering questions legitimately about all the things you just listed. You know, who actually answers like a random phone call that says, tell me about your STIs? You know, I'm like, who does that? You know?
So I will just, let me just pause right there, because, so this LLC works through universities' IRBs. So it is a very legitimate, the way the questions are worded. So it's not, tell me about your STIs. It's, you know, this has been going on since 2003. So the questions are very scrubbed with, you know, Institutional Review Board. And yes, we've been able to have 400 people every 3 years answer their phone and answer all these questions. So somehow they're finding that. It wasn't until 3 years ago that they started dialing cell phone numbers. So how this company, they used to get all the landline phone numbers for the whole county. And yes, they would get 400 people to answer. 3 years ago, they started adding in cell phone numbers. So somehow they get the big bucket and they make it a randomized 400. So that is, it is literally a randomized sample.
You can, yeah, Julia, if it makes you feel any better, this is Rita, if it makes you feel any better, I was a victim a number of years back, and I answered all the questions. So, I mean, they really weren't, I mean, they were very clear that this was, you know, an important community survey, and, you know, and maybe because I had an understanding of, you know, of the health department and why that was being done and all of that kind of stuff, that I was more apt to be, you know, to answer all of their questions or whatever. But I mean, it didn't feel invasive. I think that they knew what they were doing, and it seemed very professional on the up and up. I had, you know, maybe I'm a sucker, but I answered all the questions. So.
No, I appreciate that. I just, okay, even just, and I'm sure there are people who would, but if you're just telling me that it was only 3 years ago that we started using cell phones, I mean, my response to that is, we got all the boomers, you know, or older, you know, and so.
Well, we did it because when the survey, and I'm assuming this was shared in the past with the past health officer, but when the survey comes back from those 400 people, it is broken up by age group, demographics. So we got a wide range of people.
Okay.
So yeah, so it was very much a academic rigor survey, 400 randomized though. But as you can see, the problem with that, A, it's only 400 out of 170,000 people. And until 3 years ago, it was only landline. So that's where, yes, we want to bring much more qualitative data into this by doing focus groups and having much more, you know, the ability to talk more and tell more of their health needs, as opposed to just answering the questions of the survey.
So what,
and
are
this
you
is our one-time opportunity to do that because we have ARPA money. Yeah.
So what are you, I mean, are you wanting, are you wanting us to send you, for instance, suggestions on places or groups that where we could solicit, sure, some additional help? Is that what you would like us to do?
What do you mean by additional help?
Additional resources or additional groups. So, you know, for instance, should we say, you know, what ages are we looking at? And therefore, do we want to say, hey, let's talk to this nonprofit group, or let's talk to this, you know, see if people within this church, or see if people within this city, or this, you know, we want somebody from the Columbus Park area, and we also want a group of people from Twin Lakes. You know, I mean, are you wanting like ideas of people from?
Yes.
Okay.
So what, and maybe you guys know, because I mean, the general gist is we need to understand the health of the community and the needs within health of the community. So, you know, at some point when you do focus groups, the data becomes sort of saturated because then they all start sort of saying the same thing. So typically in academia, once you've done 10 focus groups, they all start to say the same thing. So we might want to be real strategic about where we do these focus groups or with whom. And to make sure that we're capturing the real needs of the community and knowing that the majority of the people the health department serves are those who are underserved, inner city. Yes, we represent the whole county. We will need to get out west of the eye. I'm not saying that's not important. I'm just saying we want to make sure that we are capturing the needs of the people that we also, that our services are offered to.
Now, I do have a question. Would phone calls be the only offering to gather that data, or will there be another option for gathering the data?
No, that's where I was talking about. We're going to use the ARPA money to do focus groups this year. In past years, we haven't had this extra money to be able to do anything other than what Aurora pays for, which is the 400 phone calls. So that's where we're talking this year. And this is a one-time shot. It's not like this ARPA money, you know, it has to be spent by 2024. So this is a one-time shot to really expand our community health assessment beyond those 400 phone calls to doing focus groups or one-on-one key informant interviews or whatever is needed to get a broader swath of the community's needs as far as health.
My thought process, I mean, beside the focus group, would just be something like, especially with millennials, I think about that all the time. They always have their phones in their hands. So being able to get into the phone and being at a level where they can access it, whether it be a text, whether it be an email, anything like that, I think that'll be helpful for getting the information out there. Because, like I said, a lot of times the biggest thing is that people have their phones in their hands all the time, and you want to be able to get that information where they are and make it really accessible. And I know for myself, I deal with a lot of people that will not answer a phone number from a random number. So just being able to get that information out there and capture more people that otherwise wouldn't even be interested in participating.
Now, you're still doing some of the community vaccine clinics. What about talking to the people there while you're doing it?
Yeah, I like that. And I don't know by the summer how many of those mobile missions we'll still be doing. Our numbers have definitely dropped a lot. But yeah, no, that's a great idea. I'm writing these all down.
Okay. I was just wondering if on those surveys or whatever they call, is there going to be the Hispanic community somehow in Spanish or that's not contemplated or
absolutely. We've already procured a Spanish translation service, and the consultant we intend to hire is Spanish speaking for this community health assessment, community health improvement plan. So definitely then where, you know, who would be a good place to go or who would be good to come to the table to offer up, you know, we'll have incentives and hopefully food if it's allowed, but you know, at least incentives to get people to the table to help, because it's going to be a lot of us asking a lot of questions and getting as much as we can out of the community that's in front of us.
Yes, and one of the things that I have experienced with some of the people is that when you ask personal questions, they really tend to be very hesitant to answer, unless they have a warmer atmosphere or a little more like face-to-face or a little more like trying to understand their culture, because if they are talking to some people from Mexico, I mean, on the north side, they have a way of doing things, and then and by Mexico City, there's different ways, and then in the south of by Yucatan or Cancun, or they have different way of doing things also. And then when it comes to talking to people like Guatemala or South America, it's a totally different culture. It's almost like the person who is translating or interpreting these activities. I hope they have a multicultural mind so that they can be friendly with all the people or whoever they be able to talk to.
Yep, good point, good point.
John, are you going to use just the staff you have right now, or who's going to do the focus groups?
So we are hiring a consultant to help basically lead this. So it's an independent party, but we will have our staff available at the focus groups and, you know, helping to lead and all of that kind of stuff. In fact, we are hiring a public health strategist to help really be 100% focused on this effort, as opposed to what we always do is pull up our current staff and do, you know, while they're doing their main day job into all this other stuff. We will have a one full-time dedicated person to doing nothing but the community health assessment and community health improvement plan. John, I don't know if you're talking on the phone or if you're talking to us, but you're muted. You must be on the phone.
Or is then mute.
All right. You mentioned WIC. Is there a collaboration with the WIC office, which is right uptown on 20th and 63rd, to have somebody working right there with a ongoing kind of thing? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think, obviously we're totally integrated with WIC and, you know, we're their fiscal agent. But I think, let me think on that. They are doing their own survey right now. It's not so much on health, but it's some information that might be integrated into our community health assessment, as they're surveying all their WIC clients right now.
Good. And anybody that hasn't been in the WIC building should visit that building. Inside is fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, Jen, Dr. Jen. So what are you all's thoughts about? So typically, from my understanding, a community needs assessment, it starts out of the office of one organization. Is that accurate?
If I'm understanding your question right, so we, the health department, are statutorily bound to do this community health needs assessment. Aurora pays for it, so they essentially lead it, but we work very collaboratively, you know, together in designing it, sharing the data, all of that sort of thing. Is that answering your question?
Yes, so it's. So one of the things I'm wondering, would it be advantageous to get a collaborative of organizations to help us do the legwork? Because we're brainstorming, you know, who do we reach? How do we reach them? All of our agencies have different networks of clients who really deserve to have their voices heard. And so what about a pre-step before that is get a collaborative for this needs assessment?
Yeah, so you are reading my mind, because so we do have the Health Advisory Council. Prior to me, it was known as the Healthcare Executive Roundtable. It was really high-level VIPs that would come together, and it was more of a speakers bureau. And my goal was to really, COVID derailed everything, but my goal was really to remove it from being a speakers bureau to changing it to much more of a health advisory council, where you all, the Board of Health, are sort of maybe seen as the executive team of that group. Because my one issue with that being the collaborative is that's like 100 people around the table. So you're going to get 100 different opinions. I still need a decision-making body, which is you all as the Board of Health, right?
You know, one of the things I found when you're trying to do something, 100 voices isn't always necessary. So the collaborative is the conduit to get the assessment and to get the voices heard. And so we already have the governing body for it, which is us. And so the collaborative is, this is what we would like for you to do. Are you looking to partner with us? Or collaborate with us?
Right. No, I like that. And that's where I wanted to start with you guys, just to sort of see your thoughts on how we should roll this out. Because like I said, we'll have a consultant. And then to make sure we're doing it right, because this is our one time shot to do this, you know?
Yeah. And that way we get to really maximize it, because we're all serving very similar clients, but perhaps our way of not softening, but creating an environment of safety that we will utilize this information to with care and empathy comes from our voices, you know, seeing that our clients trust us.
Right.
I think that speaks to, I'm sorry, I don't see a name, our new member. You were speaking about the Hispanic individuals. Please tell me your name.
Roger.
Perez,
yes.
Hey, Roger. Sorry about that. I didn't see a name up there. So, yeah, and I think that kind of speaks to what he was describing is who is it coming from can increase the level of comfort, which we know can increase response rates.
Right. And we saw that through our mobile missions as well, too. We've now earned a lot of trust, especially in the Hispanic community. And, you know, by being out there with these mobile missions. So that has been a big learning lesson of how much the trust building at the start impacts how we're able to get, you know, services out there.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks. I think this is some good information to start from. And yeah, definitely look into that collaborative. So it sounds like something sort of middle of the road, not just the Board of Health, but not the whole huge health advisory council somewhere in the middle that helps with that trust building and how we get out there. We do also have the Health Equity Task Force that has been solely focused on COVID for the last year, but we are transitioning to them to move away from COVID and how they can help us. So they might also be that collaborative that helps with that, because they were the ones helping us with COVID vaccination. Sounds good. And that is the end of my report. I just wanted to get your advice on that. Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Jen?
I cannot talk today. Dr. Ehrlich, one more question. Dr. Jen, when are the consultants scheduled to show up?
They will start in May, and it's an 18-month process to get us through the whole community health assessment and into the community health improvement planning, and then through to the actionable items and finding funding sources for whatever those issues that rise to the top. And so not meaning that all other issues are not important, but obviously in 3 years you can only achieve so much, right? So we have to make it manageable and achievable for 3 years of what we can do. So that will start in May. So we are meeting with them, I believe, later this week to just finalize the contract and the timeline, and I will bring that to you next month for more detailed information.
Okay. I told a story. One more question as it comes up to me. So say like a needs assessment, the community says, we believe these are the areas you should focus on, but our data says otherwise. How would you go about approaching that?
Yep. So that is throughout the whole community health assessment process. Typically, once we've gathered all of this data, then we will bring like the Health Advisory Council together to sort of say, so whether it's, you know, quantitative or qualitative data or what the community feels is needed or the hard science shows it, doesn't really matter. We say, okay, based upon these two things, which is achievable, which can we do in the next, which are timely, which are, you know, right? Like, you know, like I said, vaping rose to the top, largely because of how in the media and, you know, the issues that came out in Kenosha County about that in the past. So it doesn't have to be the data says this. It can be, hey, the community's screaming for this. We need to focus on this. So that Health Advisory Council and you all as the Board of Health would then sort of help to voice, and we do like a gallery night and a World Cafe sort of thing where we sort of tease down all the data, quantitative and qualitative, into, okay, here's the two issues we're going to focus on for the next 3 years. And again, it doesn't mean the rest is not important, but what many things will go into factoring that, whether it's, you know, specific enough or achievable or measurable and realistic to achieve in 3 years and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay, I rest. Thanks, Dr. Gerlach and Dr. Jen.
Any other questions for Jen? So I guess we'll move on to John with our corporate counsel report.
Jen, I think you wanted me to mention Senate Bill 312. So I'll just mention that I honestly don't know the status of it, whether it's passed or not. I suspect it's still in process, but essentially it's changing the membership of the Board of Health, or it gives, I guess, better to put flexibility in putting together a Board of Health. And what it does is currently the Board of Health is to consist of not more than 9 members, 3 of which must be community members with a demonstrated interest or competence in public or community health. In appointing those community members, the appointing authority must make a good faith effort to appoint a registered nurse and a physician. The bill, Senate Bill 312, allows the appointing authority to appoint a physician assistant, advanced practice registered nurse, or both, instead if it's unable to find a willing registered nurse, physician, or both. So again, it offers some flexibility. Assuming it passes, and I don't doubt that it will, we can change our bylaws to reflect that change. And I don't know if there's any other discussion we need on that, but that's a change in the law. I've been working with Jen a little bit, although I apologize. Our office is shorthanded right now. We're down an attorney. So I'm doing a lot of covering for mental health commitments and guardianships. So I'm very much in court. In fact, at 1 o'clock, I have a contested hearing I need to run up for. But I know we're looking at procuring that medical director to sign off on things, including vaccinations and Vivitrol and things like that. So I know we're working on that. I think that covers my report, unless Jen wants to ask me something or someone else wants to ask me something.
No, and I would just add to that, there's a new Senate Bill 394 that talks about giving advanced practice nurse practitioners more medical order writing ability, which would be a game changer for us as well, too, in the fact that our nurse practitioners could sign off on orders as opposed to needing an MD. So we're closely watching that one, too.
And that'll also cover our standing orders. So that's big for us.
Yep. Yep. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Any other questions for John? Any other business or comments? All right. We'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Have a great month, everybody.